never been known particularly as a blushing violet, but I'm humble indeed in the presence of a man who has written half a dozen Broadway hits, as well as several movies, who has been a producer and a director, and who has won the hearts of the American people as an actor in many, many pictures. His name on the marquee reads James Gleason, but to his millions of fans, he's Jimmy. So, welcome to our radio theater, Jimmy Gleason.
I was a little sorry to hear you tell everyone that I was a writer, Les, because I'm sure that they all believe I wrote that introduction.
I don't think so, Jimmy, but I do believe that they'll be interested in knowing how you happened to switch from acting to writing, or vice versa.
Well, Les, I just couldn't find a job as an actor once. That was quite a few years ago. So I wrote my own play. Title was Is That So? And it did all right, too. After that, I wrote a few others, but acting has always been the most fun.
Well, far be it for me to keep you from having fun, Jimmy. We'll save the chatter until after the play. Will you meet me here?
It'll be a pleasure, Mr. Mitchell.
Thank you, Jimmy Gleason.
And now, here is your announcer.
Amazing, our New York espionage. When Clinton takes a bath, we learn of it before he is dry.
Right, and perfumed, General Washington.
Who is this partisan who keeps us so well informed at the risk of his neck, huh, Green?
Little Taylor on Royal Street, sir.
Oh, a talented one, I would say.
Very. His establishment is patronized by all the high British officers.
Oh, I dare say he measures them for more than they bargain.
He does, indeed. His mind moves even faster than his needle.
A little tailor. General Green, liberty loves those who love her well. The little men of the land will see us through. What is his name, our brave little tailor?
Hercules Mulligan, sir. Hercules Mulligan.
Hercules Mulligan. I say, what an extraordinary name. But look at him. All 5 feet of him.
Go ahead with my fitting, Mulligan. Don't mind the Major.
Not a bit of a crunch to it. But if you don't mind, there's 5'1½ of me. I'd best take it in a bit of the shoulder, I think.
You know, Taylor, you're the best confounded craftsman in the colonies. Don't know what we'd do without you. He's turned out a masterpiece, eh, Fleming? Hmm?
I still can't get it. Hercules Mulligan. Why, his name is like General Washington and his rebel government. Puny, but pretentious. A Whig.
Whig? Me?
Yes, you.
Well, tread me needle. I am non-political, non-violent nobody. A happy vegetable, you might say. My wife and my negro Cato help me in the shop. And the only worry is get me work out in time. Life is short. My neck is brittle. And I prefer to die in bed, thank you very kindly, sir.
Oh, bravo. Well said.
Now, if you'd mind just turn a little bit this way now, Colonel, so I can turn the bottom. There now. One more fitting and you'll be the pride of the late dragoons.
One more fitting? But, Mulligan, I told you I must have it for today.
Oh, I'm sorry, sir, but I'm not quite happy with the hang of the court. Now, be tomorrow, I can...
Hang it all, man. I won't be here tomorrow. I'm going away.
Your regiment is moving, then? Spontaneous, so to speak?
Yes, man. Spontaneous. Now, will you send me the coat today?
My goodness, rush. Hey, Ginger, what about the other appointments? General Clinton himself was scheduled for a fitting on Thursday. Shall I see him?
Not unless you're planning a trip up the Delaware.
Okay, excellent fit, Stuart.
Do you think so, Fanny? Personally, I think it looks far better with a different insignia.
We'll all be lucky to hold our present ranks. If there's one more leak to Washington. You know, General Clinton is fit to be tied. We're all in jeopardy.
Well, someone on his staff must be responsible. It has all the earmarks of an inside espionage job.
Spy with top connections, that's certain.
No telling who the rascal could be, though.
You can slip the court off now, Connor. I'd best try with it. What time are you leaving?
Just past midnight. And don't you forget, I want that coat.
Yes, sir. It
could be anyone, though. Why, it might even be our friend Mulligan here.
I'm sorry, Molly, but we have our duty. Cato, you'll be leaving at the dispatch as soon as it's dark.
Yes, ma'am.
No, Hercules, I beg you not to send him. I heard everything from the workroom. They suspect you.
Oh, it was but a jest.
Yes, perhaps. But who can tell when it will be more than that? We've already done more than our share, Hercules. Please keep Cato here.
Cato, are you afraid?
No, sir. What's one more trip up the river? No, sir, I'm not afraid.
Well, I am. If he's caught, you'll both hang.
I'll never hang for a better cause. Now, come on, Molly. Have you forgot how you first won my heart with fair words? Oh, not how handsome and how tall your Hercules, but words like freedom and independence and honor.
Yes, but that was long ago.
Time has not changed the meaning of those words, Molly.
Time has changed much, Hercules. Look about you.
I have done that. Molly, do you mind when the Red Cross force came to New York and we tried to follow Washington?
The British stopped us.
Exactly. And you know what that was, Molly? It was Providence, big ginger. By staying behind, we've been able to help our great general and to play some small part in a fight for liberty. Liberty. That's another word you taught me, Molly. And I thank you very kindly. Well, wife, does Cato go?
Go, Cato. Go.
Put those boats on the shelf for you, Master.
I can manage them, Cato. You'd best go in the back now and get some rest. There's another long night for you. And who can tell when you must go again?
Oh, I'll just lift those boats and then I'll go. They're a bit high for you, Master.
I can rest them with ears now. Be off when I say it, though.
Yes, Master. No offense, man. Just meant to help.
Well, if it isn't my good friend Jonathan. Good morning, friend.
I'll have 5 yards of gray flannel, please.
5 of gray flannel? Certainly. Molly, Jonathan Dawson, lad, you're sitting now. And how is Hetty, Jonathan? It's been a blue moon.
I didn't come here to chat.
Why, Jonathan Dawson, it's so good to see you. I was only saying to Hercules yesterday, what's been keeping the Dawsons away?
Let me have my flannel, please, and I'll be on my way.
Why, Jonathan?
I didn't come here to socialize, Hercules Mulligan, or to bring my trade if Lemuel's wasn't out of flannel. Hetty refused to set foot in your shop. That's why I came.
Why? What's wrong?
What's wrong, says he, as though he doesn't know, as though this shop hasn't become infested with Tories and redcoats.
Jonathan, you've been my friend for many years. Surely you could...
Let him go, Hercules. Wrap it, tuck it.
Good advice, Mrs. Mulligan. Wrap it up and let me get along. What's wrong indeed?
King lover. Look, Jonathan, you can't come in my shop and...
I'll take care of this, Hercules. Here's your packet. That'll be 10 and 3.
10 and 3. Here you are.
Thank you, Mr. Dawson. And good day.
Good day, Mrs. Mulligan.
Oh, so that's what they're thinking.
That's what we've worked for, Hercules.
Yes?
Remember your instructions as confidential agent of the Republic. You are to court the king's soldiers and break off all relationships with former friends and associates. Long live liberty.
Back to your sitting wife.
Every evening just staring into space. It's more than a week now. Surely you're not still thinking about what Jonathan Dawson said.
Oh, yes, I am, Molly. I miss me friends, Jonathan and Neven Winters and Tom Andrews and... Oh, wife, I can't stand it. Sitting here night after night without anyone ever coming to visit us. Even our relatives shut us like we had the plague. The babble won't share me. I'm treated like an outcast.
That's part of the price we have to pay.
It's too much. I'm human. I can't stand it. Why fetch me my coat?
Why? Where are you off to?
To the Hound and Horn.
To the Hound and Horn? Well, that's where the Whigs gather.
My coat, Molly?
It's against instructions. You mustn't.
I'm not discuss politics, Marty, I promise you. Now, just some friendly air, nothing more.
They'll harm you there, Hercules.
Harm me? Oh, you'll let your imagination run away with your Marty below. Maybe they don't quite understand some of the actions. But they're me old friends, me cronies. Surely for old time's sake, they'll drink a glass of friendly air with Hercules Mulligan. The Hound and Horn, Daniel DeWitt proprietor. A fine shine and a fine tavern. Man is the evening I went to the exhaust to find the warmth of friendship man lives for.
Well, well, look who just came in. Hercules Mulligan.
It's a turncoat. Evening, boys. Nice evening, so to speak. I should say so.
What'll it be, Mr. Mulligan?
I'll make my nail, Daniel. Hey, Jacob, even Winkle. I didn't see you. How are you, my friend? Tom Andrews, my old comrade. Won't you join me?
You neither. Come to spy on us, Mulligan?
Yes. What brings you here after all this time?
Why, I
go back to your Tory friends, Mulligan.
Traitor.
Aye, King Lover.
Have some tolerance, friend. Yes, have faith in me, I beg of you now.
Wait until Washington gets here, little Hercules.
Oh, then you misconceived me, I swear.
Mr. Andre just got his, Mulligan. Benedict Gondel will be next. When our day comes, you'll hang. And so will you, Mulligan.
Oh, but it's not true, what you think.
I wasn't going to let him get away with that drivel.
Oh,
Master, what happened in there?
Oh, Kato.
Yes, Master.
Oh, Kato, you should have been gone by this hour. The dispatch. What are you doing here?
Mrs. Molly was worried about you. She told me to follow you here. Well, you're all cut and bleeding.
Oh, no.
You best let me carry you home.
No. You haven't the time. Oh, Kato, get started. I'll get home on right now.
Yes, Master.
I'll be off with you now. Wait. Kato, remember one more thing I had to dispatch to General Washington.
I remember.
Postscript. You know, the morale on the home front is excellent.
The curtain falls on the first act of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of Mulligan the Mighty, starring Jimmy Gleason.
Washington.
Oh, yes, General Greene.
A dispatch, sir. To this brought by Cato, Negro servant of Hercules Mulligan.
Oh, yes, our little New York tailor.
He has important information for us, I warrant.
No, it's amazing. A veritable blueprint of General Clinton's forces.
It must be a terrific of their neck that he gains such vital information. What if we had a few more like him?
We have, General Greene. And so long as we have the support of the Hercules Mulligan to the country, victory must surely be ours.
Have you decided on the material you like, eh, sir?
I think this one here, Hercules, the brocade. It is the most expensive, is it not?
It is that, we think it. Well, if not for the war, the prices would be not quite so prohibitive. What is it?
Oh, the price matters not. There are no expense in its making, Hercules.
I want silver lace and silver spangled loops.
Well, Ferdinand, you must have struck it rich.
You have no idea. But it was due me after all I've suffered for the king. Vile, weak insults. The stones hurled through my windows. So I'm getting my reward now, all right.
Indeed, Arthur. And how are you being rewarded by the British?
Provisions. Tons and tons of it they're buying from me. Why, today alone I filled a huge order on board boats. Enough for 500 horsemen.
500? Now, where were they better than 500 horsemen, do you suppose? Do you know, Arthur?
I'm not allowed to. But I suppose you're all right. Particularly after that little affair at the Hound and Horn the other evening. I'm sure I can judge a man.
You're a most discerning individual, Arthur. A man of rare judgment. Now tell me, friend.
Hercules, the war will be over in 48 hours. I overheard it from the highest source.
I know you have the confidence of Dimmitt Command, but 48 hours? Oh, come now, Arthur. That's incredible.
Oh, is it now? Well, just suppose a certain rebel creature were about to make a journey from West Point to Hartford. And just suppose this creature were traveling alone with only a few aides. And suppose our General Clinton knew the exact route he was taking. And suppose...
Suppose. Oh, you're a sly one, Arthur. Maybe you know something, maybe you don't.
So I know all right.
Well, who is this traitor? And tell me, how will the war come to an end in 48 hours?
Well, I don't know the time. I wouldn't have found out if I hadn't put the provisions on board myself.
You and your grand talk and your silver lace. I doubt you saw them a solitary bag of grain.
I did, I tell you. And you'll see how much I know when Clinton's men intercept Washington on the road to Hartford. Yes, intercept him and tip off him.
You realize what this myth means?
Yes, Master Hercules, I do.
This kind of message must be carried in your mind only. And there's not time to wait until nightfall.
I'll leave now. The message?
Change your course to Hartford. Clinton knows your plans. Now repeat it to me, Cato.
Change your course to Hartford. Clinton knows your plans.
Look through the curtain, Cato. Who's in the shop?
The British officer, Master Hercules. Let me look. Oh, it's only Colonel Stewart.
He knows me as a friend. But you must leave at the back door. And at once... Well, Fred Maynard, but ain't Con Stewart.
Correct, Hercules Mulligan.
And I believe I'm also correct in assuming you've decided on a new dress uniform, one with the sleeves split a wee bit, even if it is slightly against the royal warrant.
I've not come to discuss the royal warrant for a new dress uniform, Mulligan. I've come here on official business.
I'm flattered. If there's anything I can do...
You've been the subject of a little investigation, Tabor. There are some who say that in 75 you were chosen one of the rebel committee of correspondents.
Oh, me, sir?
And in 76, according to the report, you were among the band of misguided patriots who destroyed the leaden statue of King George.
A case of mistaken identity, no doubt.
Come, Taylor. You might as well confess. We know all about you.
So you do, Big Jacob. You've got a hand at the bridge. But believe me, sir, there were the fires of youth. I'm a subdued man now, non-political.
Really? And how about your Negro boy?
Cato? Oh, he knows nothing of politics. Oh, that you can be sure.
I should like to convince myself of that matter personally. Bring him in.
Well, he's out just now, gone on an errand. He's gone to fetch some lace.
Yes. I hear you send Cato frequently for lace, usually at midnight, eh? Strange the way he seems to find it necessary to travel up the Hudson for it. What do you have to say to that?
Well, sir, I...
Perhaps your wife's tongue is more glib. Maybe I'd best speak to her.
She's out, sir. Out.
And so will you be when she gets home, Taylor. And just to make the closing of your establishment a more auspicious occasion, I've brought along a little escort for you.
Major Fleming, we're ready. Come and get our prisoner.
One more chance, Mulligan.
We know you've been having traffic with General Washington. How else could our kidnapping plans have gone astray?
You've been sending messages by your Negro, Cato.
And all we want you to do is send one more message. One that we will dictate.
Never. Never in a million years, but gentle.
We've caught your Negro. He's told us everything, so you might as well confess, Mulligan.
Just do as we say, and you can return home.
Do you think it's worth it, losing your wife, your business, and your freedom?
In the first place, gentlemen, I don't live at Kato's. Can't do anything.
And now, he accuses us of lying.
And in second place, though I lose my wife and my business, I'm not losing my freedom. It's for freedom that I fight.
Here you are, please, me. Eat up.
Porridge again. Dad, I have a good mind to change prison.
Oh, don't be a fool, Mulligan. Eat it. You become a human skeleton.
I don't want it 5 months in this nursing home, big dinger.
So you come to two officers to reason with you, then.
I'll tell him this cell is me home, and since a man's home is his castle, I'd like to be alone today. I'm not at home to visitors.
Don't make it hard for yourself, Mulligan. But do hold out a bit longer. Things are not going well for the King's men. He thinks you'll be home again before too long.
Thanks, Jello. It is a beautiful word, that. Home.
Hercules, you're home.
Marley.
Oh, Hercules, you've been so long. Your hair's turned white.
Yes, Marley. It's been coming, don't you think?
Oh, come now, come now, Alana. No tears. It wasn't so bad, really, except for the forage.
But tell me, why have you moved way out here to the end of the town? I had to go to the city to find you. What happened?
Well, after the British closed my shop, I tried to get along somehow, needlework, and after that, selling thread from door to door. But no one would trade with me. Neither Whigs nor Tories. Both sides mistrust me.
Oh, my poor girl, and how you must have suffered. But when I told the Whigs about all that happened in...
No, no, husband, you must not approach them. They believe that your jailing was a thin plot, that you were pampered while you were in prison, that you gave information. There was even a wild rumor that you came and went in the prison as you pleased, and that your cell was equipped with a feather bed and a silken quilt.
What would I explain?
You'd have no time for explanations. They'd sworn that they'd hang you on sight.
Well, Washington should take New York any day now, and perhaps if I can get word of
it. You can only pray for that, and hope that the Whigs do not learn of your release from prison before that day.
And if they do, Molly, what comes will come. I do it all over again for my general and my country.
Did you hear a crowd?
Hey, it's the town people. The Whigs. Molly, in case I get no time to say goodbye, I want you to know...
Hide! Hide in the back, Hercules!
I've not run this far. I shall open the door. Yes, gentlemen, what can I... Molly! 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 Molly, come here quickly!
Yes, husband. What is it? Why do you... Bless me! It can't be!
Washington...
Yes, I'm General Washington. Come to express my thanks for the help you so bravely gave us in our hour of need.
Hercules!
Molly.
We hear you've been having a difficult time of it, Hercules Mulligan. We've told your townspeople the truth. Lest anyone need further proof, I have a small medal to pin on your chest.
Well, tread me needle. I take myself and the happiest man on earth. And then we give it to them lobster back, sir.
And the curtain falls on the second act of the Movie Town Radio Theater's presentation of Mulligan the Mighty, starring Jimmy Gleason, who returns in just a moment.
Here's our star, Jimmy Gleason. Jimmy, many thanks for a grand job.
Thank you, Les.
You know, Jimmy, I've always marveled at your remarkably accurate characterizations. Now, take, for instance, when you play an army officer, I'd swear that you were the real thing.
Well, you see, I spent quite a few years in the army, Les. I was still a lieutenant colonel in reserve, as a matter of fact.
Well, maybe that wasn't such a good example. Now, take when you play the role of a cop.
I was a policeman once. Later, a detective.
And now, don't tell me you were one of those fight managers you portray.
Yes, I was a fighter myself for a while, and later I managed a stable of fighters.
You know, this is a little disappointing, Jimmy. I thought you were a very fine actor, and here all the time you were just playing yourself.
Well, now, Les, sometimes I do act.
Huh?
And I swear to you, I was never a tailor in the time of George Washington.
You win, Jimmy.
because you were plenty convincing in that role. Many thanks for playing it.
I enjoyed it and was fun working with you, Les, and with everyone in the cast. Thanks so much for asking me, and goodbye.
Goodbye, and return soon, Jimmy Gleason. Next week, our star will be Miss Anne Dvorak. And other coming attractions include Yours Truly in a Story That I Really Think Is Great. Then, Anne Rutherford, Barbara Britton, Eddie Bracken, and many other fine Hollywood actors and actresses in specially selected radio plays. In the cast, you heard our star, Mr. James Gleason as Hercules Mulligan, Myra Marsh as Molly, Ken Christie as Cato, Bob Bruce as General Washington, Dawes Butler as General Green, Dan O'Herlihy as Colonel Stewart, Charlie Long as Major Fleming. Music was composed and conducted by Del Cecilia. Mulligan the Mighty was written by Joseph and Janet Vestal, edited by Bud Lesser, produced and directed by yours truly, Les Mitchell.